73, ready to sing? I cannot believe what tomorrow will be bringing, if the sunshine or rain. The Lord is the ruler of everything, and all of my body is pain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting on fire.
Pause for the announcements at this moment.
Amen. All right. How's everybody doing tonight? Good. blessing to be together this evening. If you need a bulletin, raise your hand. We'll be happy to get one to you. Just keep your hand up. One of our ushers will be happy to get one to you. It's good to have some here tonight that weren't here this morning. And we're glad that you are here with us. And as we worship the Lord together. And just by way of announcements, pray for Patty as she's home now. And how's she doing, Pat? What's the latest from Patty? Good. So keep praying for Patty and keep praying for all the ones on our prayer request list. We praise the Lord. Good news this morning. So a few got saved this morning. That was a blessing. Three to be exact. And pray for Elsie and her brother JJ and also Pat. You got to lead Peggy to the Lord. And Peggy got saved. That's Eunice's. Is that Eunice's sister or her aunt? Her aunt. Okay. So praise the Lord that Peggy got saved as well. She raised her hand at the invitation. What a blessing that was. Then also pray for Angela Straw at home and also her Marie Martino as well. Then on the right-hand page, we do have numbered giving envelope boxes available. If you'd like a statement of your giving, you can put your monies in the envelopes, and that way every quarter the treasurer and financial secretary will get you your giving statements. If you are interested in that, they're on the back table there. The boxes are there, and you just sign your name next to the number and then take that box that pertains to that number. It's a pretty easy system, and then it has one envelope per week. So that way you can 52 envelopes in there to keep track of your giving that you can keep track, and the church will give you a statement. Then our... We are looking for another driver to help take people home from Atlantic City route one time a month. And so we're see Carol if you can help with that. And then today we had a baptism. We're thankful for that. And then also next week, Lord willing, have faith's dedication. And then on the back page, we are going out Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. soul winning. So come on over, meet us at the church as we go knocking on doors in our community. We want to tell Atlantic County about Christ and how he can save their souls. So come on out, and we've had some good fruit so far from that in the last few months. Any other announcements that need to be mentioned, John?
The new directory, even if you filled out in the past information for the directory, the database we had for that directory might not be able to get back, so we're starting all fresh, all new. So please, everybody fill out one of those forms. Also, Justine just sent me a text to remind me to make sure we knew that this week's country for the persecuted church is Uganda.
Good.
Yeah, so pray for them. There's something else on my mind. Oh, yes, just a quick to let you know. Our Facebook page is reaching around the world. I know we had about 9 different countries when we were looking yesterday that we are getting feedback from.
Amen.
A couple of them, 2 or 3 of them in Africa. I think one of them was in the former Soviet Union, and maybe down in the Philippine area, somewhere in the South Pacific Islands and stuff like that. So
amen.
There's a lot of reaching out all over.
Amen.
It's getting slow, but we are getting here.
Amen. Amen. Let's keep that up. Thank you to John and Justine who do our. Justine does Facebook. John does the putting the messages to the website, and we're thankful for them. And pray for Brother Danny and Pastor Logan as they get more involved in the video side of things. So pray for that. If you're interested in helping out in that ministry, let John know, and he can help you. Or let John know, and he can point you to video side or audio side. So the form is in the bulletin this week. So if you can fill this out, it helps. If you fill it out tonight and just put it right in the white box there. If you need a pen, you know, I'm sure we can get you a pen from the back. But this way, we want to get your birthday. You don't have to put the year if you don't want to. That's fine. But at least the day and the month so we can recognize you on your birthday because we want to do that. We want to share in your special day. So please, if you can fill this out and you want to put your email or your Facebook name, however you want to be contacted, you can fill this out. And put that in the back there. It's in the bulletin. All right, any other announcements that need to be mentioned?
Just
Any other announcements? Yes, Carol.
Let's make sure that we pray for Pastor Logan. He's having a bit of a tough time accomplishing what he needed to accomplish on his property in Virginia. Something I don't know all the details, but something about the roof and he's gotten a price, but he the paperwork that needed to be done is not going smoothly. So he's been doing a lot of work himself, and so he's very tired. So please let's remember to pray for him when we pray.
Okay, let's pray for Pastor Logan. Any other announcements that need to be mentioned tonight?
For Crystal, she's due the end of January.
Okay, let's pray for Crystal Niner, due with a baby. January. Anyone else? All right. And now let's keep Nancy's knee in prayer. She is going for an MRI soon, this month sometime, down in Cape May. So pray. Yes.
I understand now. I can go as close as I can go to one in Summers Point, too.
Oh, wonderful.
They take my insurance in Summers Point.
Oh, good. Wonderful.
Somewhere's in Summers Point, but I got to find out where.
Okay. Praise the Lord. That's much better than Cape May. All right. Anyone else? Okay. At this time, we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this evening of our tithes and offerings to God. Also be in prayer for Steve Ingram, he and Paul, our son, they were involved in a little four-wheeler accident yesterday, and Paul hurt his back a little bit, but he's okay. He had an X-ray, but Steve's face is scratched up pretty bad, so he had a fractured jaw, so he had to get wiring today to get his jaw wired. So let's be in prayer, especially for Steve Ingram, my stepdad, and for Paul's back. And they are back in Pennsylvania, and let's be in prayer for them. All right, let us go to prayer at this time. Brother Bob.
Our Father God, Lord, we thank you so much for bringing us more or less safe and sound into this new year. And we thank you for the opportunities that are opening to us. You're not one who's bothered by time, and we're eternally thankful for that. But we do have a time problem. We know that there are boundaries to what we can do, and for as long as we can do it, we just pray, Lord, that within these boundaries, you would allow us to be as effective warriors for you as we can be. We just ask that you would look toward the giving in this church in a very special way, so that
Amen.
We can be sure that your needs will be met exactly, because we know, Lord, that your vision for this ministry is probably way beyond what we would have for it. We just ask that you would elevate our vision, that we might be able to be in sync with you as we would seek to move this work forward. We just thank you so much for being associated with this church and being part of it. And we thank you for those that have expressed interest to come into the membership here, because we know that that's how we grow in power and effectiveness for you. We just ask that you would continue to guide and direct us. And we pray that you would be with these ones who have particular needs. We pray for Steve Ingram, and we pray for his son Paul, and these inevitable accidents that seem to happen here on the planet are something that has to have to be dealt with. Just pray that you would send them the right medical people at the right time to take care of any possible need they might have. And more than that, Lord, we just ask that you would personally take charge of their healing and raise them up from this. We just pray that you would be with Nancy as she goes for this MRI on the knee. While we don't know what MRIs are, usually it's a phrase that precedes a large bill. And we just ask, Lord, that you would need to be taken care of there. And we just ask that you would continue to guide and direct in our lives here as we seek to launch out in ways never even attempted before in this ministry in the new year. And we just pray that you would be with us for each and every step of the way. And we just think now of the offering. We just pray that you would touch hearts and lubricate wallet hinges, that we might be able to bring to you that portion which you call of us to bring. And we just ask, Lord, that you would suit a blessing to each gift as well as to each giver as we seek your face in the manner of our giving. For it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Chorus of Books, to page number 44. He sings us the first portion and the chorus, and then we open for testimonies. Because of the time, we're just trying to cut out some of the extra songs and get right to the message. Page number 44 in the chorus books. You might have one before you somewhere. Under your chair. Page number 44, I know who holds tomorrow. Change it to another one. How about number 50? Push.
We can do it.
You can do number 44? Okay. We take number 44. I know who's tomorrow. Week in the new year. Someone with a blessing. If not, we will turn the way over to Pastor Rice right on his starting time. No one?
I just want to praise the Lord a few things. First of all, when we got over to Mom's house, we met some friends that Matilda was working, and one of the ladies showed my mom a Christian movie about a butterfly and really helped my mom. Then when the physical therapy, Dan came, Mama looked a lot better.
Okay. So just seeing that butterfly made a difference?
Maybe.
Praise the Lord. As simple as it might have been, just looking at it made a difference. Anyone else? What a blessing for the new year. Go right ahead, Carol.
I praise the Lord for traveling mercies as I was in Florida Monday through Friday. The flights were beautiful and very safe. And it was one with family.
Mm-hmm.
The family needs prayer. A lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But while we were there, much was accomplished. Some quality time, one-on-one time with me and my daughter-in-law, and also with me and my son.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, being with the baby was a wonderful treat.
Mm-hmm.
I do ask for prayer for them, and I do thank all of you who were praying. I know many of you were. I got texts, but I got words that you were praying. So there's nothing more powerful that any of us can do than pray for each other.
Amen.
So I am thankful for that, and praise the Lord for the privilege that He gives us to pray.
Thank you. Amen.
Oh, I do want to say one other thing. I did go on Wednesday night. Brian and I went to a church of like faith not far from their house. I almost felt like I was in our church. I mean, it's so close to ours. It's a bigger facility. The pastor, interestingly enough, is from Philadelphia, from the Fox Chase area of Philadelphia. And that too was a wonderful blessing to be able to attend that church with my son. And And I praise the Lord that they seem to be doing well in that location, and that I could be a part of it.
Amen. I think there was something about the airplane engine.
Oh, I did have a delay on the way home, but fortunately, it sounded a little scary at first. They told us to board, that we'd be boarding in 10 minutes, and every 10 minutes they told us it would be another 10 minutes, and this went on for an hour. They said the maintenance team, mind you, was still on the plane, and that's why we couldn't board.
Mm.
But I was like, that's not very comforting.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they finally changed us to a different plane. Turned out it wasn't a major thing. It was something with the bathroom doors or something. But it's good to know. I did not know. If there's the slightest little anything wrong in their checklist, they cannot take off. So they did take us on a very long walk to the next terminal.
Mm.
But we then boarded a different plane and we were late an hour, but that's okay. We had a very safe trip home.
Praise the Lord, and thank God you got them safe and you're here.
Amen.
And even give us a testimony. We thank God for His goodness and His protecting hand around His children. And at this moment, I turn the rest of the service over to Pastor Rice.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles tonight, Revelation chapter number 21, as we study what God has for us in the book of Revelation. And I think I left my Bible in my office. Yes, do you mind? Thank you. I appreciate it. Is it right by the office on that little stand, or is it in my office? Revelation 21, as we look into the Word of God tonight, we're looking at heaven. We all need encouragement from time to time. Well, there's no greater encouragement than looking at our future home, looking at where we're going, where we're headed, what's in store for us as believers. God has great things in store for us. By the way, if anyone can help us after church, want to take down the stable, it just has a couple pins. It's like door hinges. So we just want to take that down and put it in the fellowship hall. So then during a daytime sometime, we can put it away. So if you can help us get that taken down, and then we just need the two big chairs back in here, up here, and the pulpit moved from that room in. So if you can give us a hand with that, that'd be appreciative. Thank you very much. Revelation 21. I just want to read a little bit about what some of our forefathers went through in the earlier centuries, okay? Such groups that did not align themselves with the heretical churches as they were going into heresies, but stayed true to the Word of God during from the 3rd to the 7th century, so from about 200 to 300 AD on to about the 600 AD, there was a group known as the Novatians, sometimes called the Novarians. During the beginning of the 3rd century, there began to be changes made in doctrine in the established churches, like the church at Carthage that Tertullian pastored first. Some of these established churches started to add to and change the things they believed. They were still preaching that you need to be saved, but they were starting to make some changes for the express purpose of trying to keep people happy who wanted to come into the membership of their church. Sounds like today, right? Churches trying to make people happy to try to come in. They didn't have all the technology of the smoke machine or the fog machine. They didn't have all the lights and stuff, but they tried their own little gimmicks. So some even began to teach that salvation couldn't be had outside of membership in their church. Friend, I don't know a single Baptist anywhere that believes that. And if they do, they're heretical. They are not true Bible believers. Salvation is not in church membership. You may say, well, you are a Baptist. You Baptists think only Baptists are going to heaven. No, sir, I don't think all Baptists are going to make it. Yes, I do believe there are people that are not Baptists that are going to heaven. I also know there are a lot of Baptists that aren't going to make it there. It's whether they trusted Christ as Savior, as whether they're going to get to heaven. The Novation movement began around the area of Rome. Soon it spread, even exploded throughout the whole Roman Empire. Philip Schaff, who is not a Baptist, writes in his book History of the Christian Church, Volume 2, page 92, in spite of the strong opposition, the Novation sect by virtue of its moral earnestness, propagated itself in various provinces in the East and the West down to the 6th century. The Novatians were the earliest Anabaptists, refusing to recognize as valid the ministry and sacraments of other opponents, and claiming to be the true church, they were logically compelled to rebaptize all who came to them from the Catholic Church. In other words, when they were christened as infants or babies, they said, no, that's not a true baptism. We must, you got to do it God's way. After you get saved, you got to get baptized. So they called that rebaptism, but it's actually first baptism. The party gained great strength in Asia Minor, where many Montanists existed and joined it. And in spite of the persecution, the Novatians survived to the 6th or 7th century. And then the Donatists and the other groups. So we see these groups, the Novatians, the Donatists, the Montanists, the Waldenses later on. These are all church groups that did not go along with the Roman Catholic Church and its system and the hierarchy and all those things, but they tried to stay faithful to the Word of God. So we see that all through church history, you can look and see a true line of faithful churches, often underground and most of the time having to hide, but nonetheless, they are there, and that's where we get our line from. There's always been true Bible-believing churches, even amidst all the heresy. Another group from the 3rd to 7th century was the Donatists. They, very simply, why are there different names? It depended upon the prominent leader, who he was at the time in that area of the world. There are many sound Baptists today that believe just like we do, but we don't run in their circles and we don't know who they are. I can't know everyone, but there are certain preachers that I'm familiar with. And so during this time, the 2nd to the 7th century, we have the Montanists, the Novatians, and now the Donatists. Donatists were growing and multiplying. This is also the time when the Roman Catholic Church came into being under Constantine. The Roman Catholic Church was starting to teach the worship of their martyrs and relics. All of that began during this era of time. The Donatist movement came to the forefront at this time because of the reaction to the establishment of a state church. Up until 312 AD, some of the emperors of Rome in power were friendly to Christianity. By friendly, I mean they would tolerate Christians existing in their empire. However, there were those that came to power who hated everything to do with Christianity. They considered Christians to be pagans and wanted them murdered, so they gave a free license to everyone to murder Christians. You and I think, how in the world could they say that about Christians? It was very simple. The emperor of the Roman Empire was considered a god. So as a god, he would think, I am the emperor, I am God, I want my subjects to worship me. If you're going to be a loyal subject, you're going to come and worship me as the emperor of Rome. And if you won't burn sacrifices to me, or if you won't own me as a god, then you are my enemy, and you are against my religion, and you are against my empire. Every empire that has ever come to power in this world and had any strength at all has been built on the back of two things, secular power wedded to a religion. Even communism has a religion, that of atheism. Then in 312 AD, an emperor came to power whose name was Constantine. He decided the best way to deal with the problem of Christianity was to wed Christianity to the Roman Empire and to make it a state religion. So he became a quote-unquote Christian. He baptized all his soldiers and he made them Christians, or maybe we should say Christianized. Remember that by this time we have two kinds of churches. We have true churches that are sticking to the stuff, and we have churches who are trying to socialize and have started dropping the standard. As these churches watch Constantine Christianize the Roman Empire, they realize they have an opportunity to get ahead in the world. Let's imagine in a similar situation. Today, you to make it easier for you to understand what's happening, let's say the President of the United States overthrew the federal government, took over the dictator. He gets up to speak to the people and says, I'm a Christian. Everyone who works for the federal government must become a Christian. So he baptizes everyone and starts going around to places, sprinkling people and calling them Christians. Suddenly, we have all these people that are Christians. Christians begin to sit back and they say, wow, our ranks can really swell now. We're going to grow. Can you imagine? Now, this is how they said, oh, we'll now grow this way, the false churches. However, the true churches took a look at it and said, we are skeptical of this thing. We are concerned about it. We don't just want to throw open the doors and let people come in blood into our churches because we won't have control over the quality of what is coming in. In fact, we are concerned that we are going to get a lot of pagans in our church who have never been born again, and they're going to come in, fill our ranks, and our church is going to go into apostasy overnight, and there won't be spiritual people here running this church. all of a sudden, these movers and shakers who are coming in and joining our church will want to take over. So we are going to deny membership to these folks unless they can testify of a genuine conversion experience. That's what we would do, right? We wouldn't let people come in as members unless they gave a true, genuine conversion experience. The Donatists were among those during this period of time that took this kind of stand. They reacted against the churches that signed up to become part of the government system. The apostate churches said, yes, we will take in all these government people and take in all these pagans. We will make them all Christians with Constantine, and we want to be part of this. And the Donatists had to say, we aren't going to have any fellowship with you. You've chosen to get in bed with all the pagans of our day, and you have chosen to deny doctrine and deny Christ. Not going to have anything to do with you. You are now a non-church in our eyes. The Catholic Church began to grow quickly because it had been wedded with the empire and with the Roman government for a period of time. The Donatists were criticized as being judgmental and not loving. The moment anyone stands up and dares to say, this is sin, other folks look at them and say, you are judgmental, but our Bible tells us, he that is spiritual judges all things. And if you are not judging all things, there is something wrong with you. Our judgment is to be discerning. We need to be thinking through what we are doing and why we are doing it. We're not talking about being unloving. We are talking about being discerning so that we can walk in the light as God has called us to walk in the light. The Donatists were concerned about walking in the light. This is a very crucial time of history, religiously speaking. Remember, we said many of the emperors before Constantine were hostile to Christianity. Many times these emperors would make the law that if a person would not burn incense to them, they were to be killed. So the emperor's soldiers would capture a Christian pastor and give him a choice of burning incense to the emperor or getting his head chopped off. Now there were some Roman officials who were a little concerned about these Christians, but they didn't want to get into trouble, so they would say, I'll tell you what I can do for you. I understand you don't want to burn incense. That makes sense to me. In private, I understand where you are. But you know my family. They're very hungry, and the emperor doesn't pay me very well. I could write you out a slip here that said you burned incense. You don't have to burn incense, but I could write you one saying you did, and I'll sign it if you give me $50. Now, the pastor had a difficult choice to make. What would you do in this situation? He could sit there and think, you know, it isn't right to burn incense, but what good am I going to do for my church if I'm dead? If I have a family at home that to feed and care for, who's going to take care of them? If they kill me, they'll probably kill my family too, or at least starve to death, which will be even worse. But what would be wrong with me giving $50 to save my life and the life of my family? I have $50 here in my pocket. What is wrong with getting a piece of paper? So not all of them, but some said, all right, I'll give you the $50, and they would take the piece of paper saying they burned incense to the emperor. What happened when the church would find out their pastor just paid off the soldier rather than stand for his faith? They would throw him out. Soon there were hundreds of pastors around, and they were called traitors. But when Constantine came to power and many of these churches joined in with the state religion, the traitors said, here's our chance. If the government religion is Christianity and the pagans are being let in, why can't we be let in? So they came back to their churches wanting to join again. Most churches didn't mind bending the rules a little bit. Even if they did mind, what could they say since they were letting unconverted pagans into their membership? But some people in the state churches saw the compromise and decided they would not be part of it. They removed themselves and joined in with this group called the Donatists, because these Donatists opposed what was going on in the state churches of the day. That is how Catholicism and the lineage of true Baptistic churches separated. The corrupted churches were more concerned about growing large than they were about teaching true doctrine. Therefore, they joined with the government and became Catholic. They stood by their faith and taught the doctrines of the Word of God. This true line of churches goes back Donatists, back to the Montanists, back to the time of the Apostles, back to the time. Jones, in his book called Baptist History, said there was scarcely a city or town in Africa in which there was not a Donatist church. They were a mighty evangelistic power. They also spread into Italy and Spain. So you think about that, scarcely a town in Africa in which there was not a Donatist church. That's a wonderful thing. So Philip Schaff, who was not a Baptist, wrote in History of the Christian Church, the Donatist controversy was a conflict between separatism and Catholicism, ecclesiastical purism and ecclesiastical eclecticism, between the idea of the church as an exclusive community of regenerate saints as a general Christendom of state and people. It revolved around the doctrine of the essence of the Christian church, and in particular, the predicate of holiness. So we see these two groups in church history that stood by the Word of God. And that's the line that we are trying to follow in, staying pure in our doctrine so that we can be blessed of God. What happens if we start corrupting doctrine? When we start paganizing, when we start saying, oh, let's go along with the Catholic Church and what they, you know, the superstitions and the hocus pocus and worshiping Mary and giving relics in. And well, what's wrong with that is it's the doctrine of devils. Once you start worshiping idols, that's breaking this second commandment. Once you start praying to saints, praying to dead people that are not God, that's heresy. And so they towed the line against all that. Yes, John. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were at a Catholic funeral yesterday. What was that all about? Keeping people connected to their quote-unquote church through these rituals and things that people see, and they think, oh, it must be spiritual if it's something I can see and smell and taste. And yeah, it's pretty messed up. Yes. Pray for our Catholic friends, neighbors, and family members that they trust Christ. Yeah. Revelation 21, verse 1, it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time tonight to look into your word. We pray you'd speak to our hearts. Help us to understand more about heaven, about church history, about where we've been in the past centuries and where we're going now. Lord, we pray you'd help us to stay true as a church to you. And most importantly, that we would do our job in this community, Atlantic County, to preach the gospel to every creature. So many people are lost on their way to hell and need a Savior. Help us now tonight and through your word, and teach us through your Holy Spirit. Fill me with thy Spirit Help each one of us desire to be Spirit-filled Christians. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we see the new heaven and the new earth the old first heaven and the first earth were passed away. This is after the millennial kingdom is done. After the millennium is done, after the great white throne judgment. Now we are coming on as we looked last time, a few weeks ago, that in 2 Peter 2 and 3, about the first earth and the first heaven are going to be melted away with a fervent heat at the end of the millennial period. So we're coming right off of that. Verse 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things passed away." So here we see this heavenly city is prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. It was prepared in the past, and it will remain prepared as a bride. Here, the church at Philadelphia is told about this New Jerusalem. The heavenly city in the letters to the seven churches, Philadelphia is told about the New Jerusalem, and so here we see that that this heavenly city will be so beautiful that we will have no idea, comprehension. But here we see God. Most importantly, why does He want to build this New Jerusalem? To be our God, and we will be His people. And when we look at the measurements later on, we'll find it's quite a large city. 900 miles long, 900 miles up, 900 miles across. 1,400 miles. 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles high, 1,400 miles across. All one big square, you know. Right now, how do we live? The United States is about 3,000 miles from California to Maine, okay, about 3,000 miles. So about half of that is 1,500. So 1,400. That's this is Dr. Waite's math, and about 1,400. But we only live on one plane, one dimension. That's horizontal dimension. Well, heaven is going to be 1,400 miles, but it's going to be a vertical dimension as well. We can't even imagine that. How's that going to work? You know, 1,400 miles high, and we'll be as angels. You know, we'll be able to go wherever we want. We'll have wings, and it's all those kind of things. So, literally, the horizontal plane will not affect us anymore. We'll be able to go horizontal and vertical. So this is just a huge city, just massive, so big, and it will have all the Christians from all the past centuries, all the believers of the Old Testament, all the New Testament saints, and all the millennial saints as well, and the tribulation saints. All of them will be comprised in this one great big city. And what a great time this will be. We will have no more crying. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying, no pain, for the former things are passed away. That's something to look forward to, that we will not have to cry for any of our loved ones anymore, that we will tears will be dried up by the Lord Himself. And by that point, if they haven't decided for Jesus, by the time they go home or they stand before God in eternity, it will be too late for them anyway. They're not even going to want to be in heaven because they've chosen not to receive Christ as their Savior, and they're going to, of course, forever regret that decision. And just like the rich man in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, said, "Send Lazarus! Send Lazarus! I'm tormented in this flame! Please send Lazarus to my five brothers!" It'll be too late for those that are already in hell. And so that's why we have to take advantage of the time now to tell our loved ones about Jesus, because we don't want them to suffer there. So here, verse 5, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Here we see the first two chapters of the Bible start with a perfect beginning, Genesis 1 and 2. God's perfect beginning, God's perfect seven-day creation, God's perfect created state of paradise for mankind. Now, and then chapter 3, sin enters. Well, now the last two chapters of the Bible, what do we have again? Perfect, restored state. Yep, full circle. Now we have the New Jerusalem in heaven and all the beauty. So there's no coincidence there. You know, people say, oh, chapters and verses, they're just made up by somebody after. Yeah, they were, but whoever it was that God had do that, they did a very good job. They did a very good job. And they were definitely led by the Spirit of the Lord to put those chapters and verses in there because there's just too many coincidences and all the numbers to say, oh, well, that was just man-made. You know, no, it was God ordained the way they needed to be numbered, and so it was. There's a lot of neat things we can see in those numbers. Okay, so chapter 21-22 is the new heaven and new earth and heaven restored, paradise lost after in chapter 3 of Genesis, paradise restored, Revelation 21. So here we see that we all have tears for our loved ones. We all have tears because of pain, problems, trials, and tribulations. But pretty soon we will have no more tears. Nothing more to cry about. Because Jesus is going to, God is going to wipe away all our tears from our eyes. And He's going to make all things new. And here Jesus He said unto me, it is done. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Okay, who is sitting upon the throne? Here we have God the Father is sitting on the throne, and God the Son seated at the right hand, and He said, write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Who says this? Jesus. Okay, so next time you meet a Calvinist that says, oh, I believe God's going to save people, you know what, He's got to do the saving. I don't want to dare step into that realm. And, you know, if they're going to get saved, they'll get saved without me and without anyone else. God will save them. Well, next time you meet that Calvinist who says that and says, you know, I'm not going to give an invitation at church. You know, there's a lot of pastors who are Calvinists. They don't give invitations in churches, you know. At the they give a great stirring message, you know, and then instead of closing with the come forward invitation or go back invitation, they say, all right, and let's close in prayer. And if you're seeking the Lord, you know, tough. You know, there's no way to respond to that. And, well, next time they try to argue from Scripture, you say to them, hey, listen, why don't you read your Bible again? Read Revelation 21:6. Jesus says, what? I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Jesus is saying, hey, come to me and I will give you to drink of the living water. Come to me. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Revelation 22:7, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 17, Revelation 21:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come. How many times does Jesus give the invitation, you know? Come, 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 come. All through the Bible, you know, Jesus preached to people, and he said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I am the bread of life. He that eateth and drinketh, he that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood. He's not actually saying eat. Jesus is not saying eat his flesh literally and drink his blood literally. He's saying you have to partake of me by believing on me as your Savior. Okay? Right away, he said in that very same sermon, he did not say to eat of his flesh literally, or else they would have done that literally. But no, Jesus, he condemned cannibalism. said, you need to believe on me as your Savior. And of course, the Catholics take any little passage like that and they twist it out of context and try to make it say something it doesn't. And so Jesus is saying, believe on me. And come. All these invitations all through Scripture, every time Jesus got up and preached, he pretty much gave an invitation. So where do the Calvinists get these ideas of no invitations? Well, they don't get it from Jesus, and they don't get it from the Bible. Okay, so we need to remind them of that. It's from a system. It's from a logic system. It's from a system by Augustine, John Calvin, who got it from Fatalists, Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates, which is called, it's actually a pagan religion called Fatalism. Whatever will be, and we can't do anything to stop that process. That's fatalism. They Christianized it by, calling it Calvin's Institutes of Religion, you know, and Augustine's, who was the founder of the Catholic Church, Augustine was a heretic himself, and he built on it, and then Calvin built on that. So let's help these Calvinists that we know to say, hey, stop, that's false doctrine. The Scripture is filled with invitations. Anyone can come who wants to come. Whosoever will may come, Jesus said. So let's stop putting requirements and conditions on people. You can't believe, that's a work. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Believe and repent and believe, Jesus said. Okay, so, all right, off that hobby horse. Back to Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Okay, so these people will not be allowed in. Those who still have their sin on them, who still are in sin, lost in sin, who have not had their heart washed clean and pure from their sin, are going to burn forever in the lake of fire. So here God puts the stipulations on who's going into the New Jerusalem. Those that trust Christ as Savior, that are truly saved, you know. There's a lot of people who make false professions, okay? And we can't stop that, you know. Can we literally take someone by the collar and say, okay, is this a true profession or a false profession? You better tell me now or I'm not going to lead you to the Lord, you know. No, we can't do that. We aren't the judge of the hearts. Only Christ is the judge of the hearts. All we can do is lead people to the Scriptures and then ask them if they want to respond. Okay, and if they say yes, great, we help them with it. If they say no, we pray for them and give them another opportunity later on. But we cannot judge the hearts, so therefore we should not get down on somebody or on people that make that say they're saved but don't ever live it. You know, that we just need to pray for them, and we need to keep trying to win them. If they don't have spiritual fruit, let's deal with them if they're unsaved. And so, but the bottom line is only, the Lord will then sort out all those people. But those that are truly saved are the overcomers. And God says He will be our God and we shall be His son. So here we see it's important to tell people they can't get into heaven if they've got sin still on them. If they have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, it's important to give them this verse. I like to deal with people with Revelation 21:8. Why? Because it gets them to see. I dealt with two kids this morning, and one was 7 and one was 10 or 9. And both of them thought they were good enough to get to heaven on their own good works. You know, they said, well, I'm good to people, and I pray every day, and I do. You know, I said, okay, let's analyze this. You know, as I read Romans 3 about the poison of wasps is under our lips. Our throat is an open sepulcher. Have you really never told a lie before? You know, they tried to tell me they never told a lie. And then they tried to tell me they never deceived their parents before. And then they tried, you know, well, who's behind that saying that? It's the devil and their flesh trying to, you know, we're trying to be proud and say, oh, we don't deserve hell. But God says we do deserve hell, and we need to get people lost before we can get them saved. So I didn't even touch on heaven, didn't touch on Jesus until they first had to see they were lost and on their way to hell. And I had dealt with that for about 15 minutes with them. Have to do it thoroughly. If they don't know they're lost, then you can't ever. They don't know what they're going to get saved from. It's going to be a false. So sure enough, finally they saw themselves as lost, and they were scared at that point. They're like, the Bible says the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And that's a good phase to be at. They realize they need a Savior, and so then tell them about Jesus, and then it all came clear to them in about a half hour, and they were saved. They made professions of faith, and they're so happy. They took their Bibles very proudly, and I showed them John, and they wanted to read John. They said, as soon as I get home, I'm going to read this to my little sister. This is little Elsie, who's in second grade, and she can read now. She reads very slowly, but nice big words in nice small words in the Gospel of John and Romans that I was having her read, and she loved it. And she said, "I want to read it to my little sister." And I said, "Tell your parents too. Talk to your parents. So pray for them." So here we see we've got to give people the truth. We've got to tell them how to be saved, because we want them. Verse 9, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." What a beautiful sight that must have been. Here now the angels that were this angel that had, filled the vials and had poured out the vials. Now he's saying, okay, this angel of judgment is now showing John the beautiful city, the New Jerusalem. How much a better of job that angel must have thought of that, to show John the New Jerusalem that's in store for all believers that we have to look forward to. And we're going to break it down next week on the different precious stones, what colors they are, the different incredible features of the city. So come on back next week as we study this. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to be reminded of these great truths from your word, that we have a great future ahead of us. Lord, we thank you so much. You have saved our soul, and you give us your continual working in our life, Lord, that you chasten us, that you help us to realize that the things that we think are so important are not important, that we need to put off the things of this world and put on the words of the Bible. Lord, I pray you'd help us to follow you closely this week, and pray for those that are not feeling well, that you put your healing hands upon them. We think of Patty and anyone else who's under the weather. We pray for Abby and Elizabeth and Paul and Faith, and help them to feel better, and Steve Ingram and any others, Lord, who need our prayers. And we pray you just bless now this invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to our hymn book as we close this service. Usually Sunday nights is a good opportunity for Christians to respond. If the Lord has worked on you in some way, to come and just kneel at the altar and pray and say, "Lord, I'm thankful for what you talk to me about tonight, that the Holy Spirit dealt with us in some way tonight, and would you like to come and just kneel at the altar and respond to that and just talk to the Lord, and maybe something you want to give over, maybe someone you want to pray for, something you need to do this week for God. Would you come as we sing this song tonight, number 700, "Beyond the Sunsets, a Blissful Morning." Let's all stand together as we sing this song. And if you need to come for any reason, would you come as we sing number 700? Number 700.
"Beyond the sunset, a blissful morning, when with our Savior, heaven begun.
prayer that we talked about tonight, and especially the new converts, Peggy and Jose, or JJ and Elsie, and all each and every one, and Darlene as she was baptized this morning and she joined the church. Thankful for her. Yes, Carol, you were going to say something? Oh, you didn't have your hand up. Okay. Let's pray for Roy as well, and Karen's foot as well. All right, let us close in prayer at this time, and Brother Hyde, would you close it?
Dear God, this night, Lord, how we thank you for your words we have heard, the challenge, and the full assurance from your words, Lord. We thank you for the Apostle John who have written those things of revelation, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that they are true and that they will come to pass. Father, we pray tonight, Lord, for those who are not with us, who are going through times of sickness or ailment. We ask a healing touch on their bodies. Be Roy, give him your strength and healing. Even tonight, Lord, and that you watch over him through the night as he wakes up in the morning. And Lord, we also pray to be with Patty, Lord. Continue, Lord, and help her to heal and to recover fully from this cancer that she has gone through, Lord. That you will give her, Lord, your healing touch. Thank you, Lord, that she's back at home. We pray, dear God, you meet her needs. Help her, Lord, to make efforts to help herself and to do those things that she's able to get done, dear God. And Father, we also pray that you will be with with all of us on the list. We think of Paul and Mr. Indron, who were at this accident. We ask the healing touch on their bodies, Lord, to help them to recover, Lord, to help them to be well again really soon. And Lord, we just want to thank you. We just pray that you will be with the city who is having x-ray with her knee, Lord, to meet her needs, and that you will guide, Lord, the x-ray, Lord, and person. And everything will go well, Lord, and she can feel well and better again real soon.
And Justine with her concussion.
Be with Justine, Lord. We ask you to continue healing hands upon Justine. We thank you, Lord, not only for and ask not only for healing on the concussion, Lord. We also ask a healing touch mostly on the seizures you have had in the past, and that you have, Lord, to overcome those things. We know that you, Lord, that with you all things are possible.
Amen.
Father, we just pray that your healing hand will be upon the Lord, to help her fully recover, Lord, and to feel well again really soon. Guide us now, Lord, as we go to our homes. Please give us safety in our travel. And ask you to guide us through the week. That our lives be a testimony before those whom we have come in contact with. And Father, for you, to you we give the glory and the praise and the thanks for all these things we have asked in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Or if anyone can help take these things down, that'd be great.
Okay, I'll take the baby.
Yesterday was like rain. No, was yesterday.